is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, on the air.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belvin.
Oh, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. We are a week away from 420. It is Friday, April 13th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the weekend. We're glad to have you here. We got Wiz Calico sitting in here on camera, too. How you doing, Wiz?
Aloha. Doing quite well. It's Friday. How can I possibly complain?
Oh, yeah. Glad to have you here. Let me get your mic up just a little bit there.
All good.
All right. Also joining us from our virtual studio from beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is our good friend Cannabis Carrie. How you doing, Carrie? Carrie. We don't have Carrie somehow.
It's her birthday. She'll cry if she wants to.
That's right. It is Carrie's birthday. So we are going to bring that up at least. We'll put the birthday cake up on the screen for Carrie, and then we'll see what we can do to get her on the program here. But in the meantime, let's tell you what's going to be on the air today. Carrie, are you there? Did I hear you snap in?
Yeah, it was a loose mic cord. Sorry. I know. Seriously, I'm going to fire the technician. Run around. Lazy son of a gun. Get him out of here.
But of course, today... it's your birthday.
It is. Thank you.
We're going to party like it's your birthday.
That's right. I'm wearing a tiara. Thank you for that introduction.
So I wanted to tease this just a little bit because I have a present for you. It's a ridiculous present. And it's in this bag.
I can't see it.
I know. It's a beautiful
bag. It's super ridiculous.
It's really cool and it's ridiculous and you're going to love it. So are you coming down to Portland for Normal Rocks then?
Yeah, I will be down there for the show tonight, so I'm really looking forward to hanging out with you guys and being with my friends on my birthday.
All right. Well, of course, we've got the hemp headlines to get to before that, so what do we got for the news today, Carrie?
I didn't write anything today. It's my birthday. No, I'm just kidding. We've got a couple of stories. First, actually, I'm absolutely excited to bring this. There's a huge ruling that came out of Canada that has Canadian marijuana activists rejoicing today. So, of course, we're going to rejoice right along with them. Plus, I've got, we're going to talk more about that Fort Collins ban. The last time I talked to you, a bunch of dispensaries had dropped their lawsuit against that ban. And also, I want to talk to you about, a ring in Texas that got busted up. So we got lots of stuff to talk about today. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, we'll get to all that. And it's okay, Carrie. It's your birthday, and we're going to party.
That's right.
It's your birthday. Thanks so much. And also on today's show, it's Rockin' Friday. So we got Herb Thrasher calling in some great new rock from Diecast. Then at half past, we got Dan Skye, the executive editor of High Times Magazine. He's going to be joining us to preview the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup taking place next weekend in Denver, Colorado. We'll be there streaming it live for you. And at the end, a radical rant. Be careful what you wish for. You just might end up getting it. Be right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network.
Yo, what's up? This is Miles from Slightly Stupid. You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or a flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
A marijuana bust that spanned from Texas to the U.S. Virgin Islands tops our hemp headlines today. Federal authorities say they have shut down a major drug trafficking operation that shipped marijuana from Arlington, Texas to St. Croix. Justice Department officials announced that they arrested 11 people on Thursday morning in St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands, and an additional six people were arrested in Texas last week in connection to the case. All 17 defendants are facing charges of conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute 100 kilograms or more of marijuana and conspiracy to commit money laundering. The arrests are also the culmination of a two-year investigation that began in November of 2009. Using an Immigration and Customs Enforcement drug dogs, postal inspectors found a parcel containing marijuana at the American Airlines cargo facility at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. They allowed that package to continue on. According to the federal court documents in the case, since that day, they say more than 120 express mail parcels that weighed around 12 pounds each were sent to six different locations in St. Croix. Those court documents also declare that 78 parcels were shipped from into Texas from St. Croix that contained in total $385,055 in money orders, all suspected to be part of the marijuana shipping business. The parcels that contained money orders were shipped to nine different addresses, including five in Fort Worth, two from Dallas, and one in Arlington and Duncanville. In a press release statement today, Randall C. Till, the postal inspector in charge of the Fort Worth division, said that the arrest should serve as a warning that postal inspectors will not tolerate the nation's mail system being misused to traffic narcotics. Each suspect is facing a possible 40 years in prison for their suspected drug crimes and an additional 20 years if they are convicted of the money laundering. The trial for all 17 of the defendants will be held in Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I guess the Virgin Islands has to get their marijuana from somewhere. I'm kind of surprised that they're not growing it there. Although it is a small place, I guess it would be kind of easy for law enforcement to engage in interdiction. But there's got to be some indoor grows going on. There's got to be someone. It's a tropical island, for God's sake. They got to be growing it somewhere. But, you know, this having the seizure here in Texas, these guys are going to be facing some pretty severe justice in the state of Texas. On our normal webpage, you can find out what your state laws are. And at normal.org/laws/Texas, or TX for the state of Texas, we find that they are facing some really, really serious times here. The Texas penalties just for possession, and how much amount did they specify there in the story, Carrie?
You know, they didn't say. They said that there was at least 120 parcels that weighed about 12 pounds. We're assuming a couple pounds of marijuana in each. So we're not sure. And how much they're going to – usually they pin the entire amount on every single suspect, which I don't think is fair.
Sure, sure. This is – then they're looking at, you know, more than 2,000 pounds possession in Texas is a felony, mandatory minimum of 5 years, possible up to 99 years, and a $50,000 fine. Sales of more than 2,000 pounds, felony, 10-year mandatory minimum up to 99 years, $100,000 fine. And, of course, there's all sorts of extra things that they can tack onto that as far as conspiracy and, you know, probably electronic wire fraud and all sorts of things that they can tack onto that. So mail fraud, too, you know, misuse of the postal services. So these guys are looking at a lot of time. And it would just be so much better if we could take all of that energy and entrepreneurism and turn it into a legal market. I mean, can you imagine how nice it would be to visit the U.S. Virgin Islands if marijuana were legalized? You could sit on those white sand beaches and smoke a doobie and just enjoy the waves rolling in. It really seems like we're just missing out on this huge opportunity all around the world to make the world a better place and make some money and create some jobs while we do it.
I can certainly picture that, Russ. A decision from the Supreme Court in British Columbia, Canada today has officially authorized that medical marijuana users are able to take their cannabis and brownies in tea form or however else they want to prepare it for consumption. Justice Robert Johnson, yes, struck down a section of Health Canada's medical marijuana laws to do that. Canadian cannabis activist Owen Smith had challenged the federal regulations as a breach of Section 7 in the Canadian Charter of Rights. That's a constitutional provision to protect an individual's autonomy and personal legal rights from actions of the government. It protects the Canadian citizen to the right of life, liberty, and the security of person. Now, Smith was the head baker at the famed Cannabis Buyer Club of Victoria. In December of 2009, his apartment manager complained to the police about the strong smell of marijuana that permeated the whole apartment building in Vancouver. Inside Owen Smith's apartment, police found jars of marijuana-infused olive and grapeseed oil and cookies that were packaged for the Cannabis Buyers Club. He was charged with unlawful possession of marijuana with an intent to sell. The Health Canada's medical access regulations specifically describe marijuana in its dried form. Justice Johnson concluded on Friday that the restriction to dried marijuana was unconstitutional, and he ordered it that it be fixed by removing the word dried wherever it appears in the medical marijuana access regulations. This is a clear victory to the medical marijuana community in Canada. But unfortunately, Mr. Smith will still have to stand trial on those charges of possession with the purpose of trafficking. He's set to appear in court on April 25th, where they will begin jury selection. Justice Johnson's rules go into effect immediately, and Smith's lawyers call this a partial victory in the case. He said that due to Health Canada's regulation, the program was unduly restrictive and unconstitutionally flawed, since it only allowed medical marijuana users following the law to only possess it in dried form. This can only help Owen's defense team as they lay out a defense that almost reads exactly like this ruling. But still, the law is different today now than it was when he was arrested. So we're going to keep an eye on this trial and see how this ruling affects Owen Smith's final judgment to the charges. Russ?
Yeah, and this just brings something up. I didn't even realize that this existed in Canada. I didn't realize this was the rule, that it had to be dried matter only. And it kind of goes to show something about medical marijuana. All that we talk about medical marijuana, or what our opponents talk about medical marijuana, sometimes we're not always talking about the same thing. I mean, for example, we like to go around and tout that there are 16 medical marijuana states, but really there's like six, and then there's like another four that have it kinda, and there's another couple that barely have it, and there's four of them that don't even really have it at all. They haven't yet registered or protected a single patient. And then on the other hand, we'll also tout the stats, the polls. We'll say, oh, well, there's 80% support for medical marijuana, not realizing that when the public is answering that poll, they're answering it based on what they think medical marijuana is, not what we think it is. And they may be thinking of it as being a much more restrictive thing than it is. Or when we talk to the politicians and they counter the idea that there's 16 medical marijuana states by thinking that they're all like California, when they're not. They're very, very different, and most of them are much more restrictive than California could be. So it's just an interesting story there with Health Canada and the British Columbia Supreme Court decision, because even myself as an activist working on this in North America, I didn't know that was the rule, and what a silly rule it was. I'm glad they struck it down.
Now, we've talked quite a bit about the ban of medical marijuana businesses in Fort Collins, Colorado. In Colorado, municipalities can vote whether they want to allow medical marijuana businesses or not. Fort Collins voted to ban them in November by just 53% of the voters. That ban meant that 92 different medical marijuana-related businesses in the town of 144,000 residents had to close. Some tried to stay in fight by filing lawsuits. Many moved to surrounding communities that do not ban them, but most of them just closed down. Now, those that filed a lawsuit saying that the new town ordinance had violated the Colorado Constitution by impinging on the rights of business owners, their right to assembly, their right to property, and their right to express themselves, as well as their right to participate in the political process. They also tried to delay the ban, saying that they would suffer irreparable harm through the city's enforcement of such a ban, arguing that they had followed all city and state regulations to set up their businesses, incurring significant expenses, only to be forced to close by a ban that was not in place when they were opening. Attorneys representing the city urged that since the businesses in question were illegal under federal law, they knew that such a venture would be risky, and the judge in that case agreed and ruled that losing money through a forced closure did not constitute irreparable injury. Now, they were preparing for appeal when they decided that they are not going to pursue that case, but they may have just saved themselves some money by dropping that lawsuit, and they may still get a second chance. A group in Fort Collins has now filed a petition to overturn the ban. They filed with the city clerk's office this week, and they are waiting to hear if the wording is approved, but if it is, they will have 60 days to gather a valid signature from at least 4,214 voters. And to overturn that question, it'll be on the November 5th ballot if they can pull that all together. Dispensary supporters say they think that the low turnout mail-in election worked against them last time. They say that this year's presidential election will generate a higher turnout. Now, Kirk Scramstad, who was formerly the owner of the dispensary at Kind Place that was part of that lawsuit, said that he feels the community of Fort Collins deserves a controlled, regulated, tax and safe model for medical marijuana. He said they strongly feel that there is a higher turnout. They will get a larger cross-section of the community, and they will come out in their favor. So the petition asks the city council to adopt a new law permitting and regulating dispensaries and let voters to decide for themselves. The city clerk said Scramstad was accompanied by Mark Belkin, who is the organizing director of the Unified Food and Commercial Workers Union, Local 7, when he dropped off that petition on Wednesday this week. Scramstad said supporters hope to begin circulating petitions in about a week. So if you are a brave business owner, you might, you know, wade into those waters again there in Fort Collins.
Well, you know, it's so tough for these guys, you know. How many more reassurances? They get the city, they get the state, they get this constitutional amendment. They have a whole mechanism for regulating medical marijuana enforcement and taxation in Colorado. You think everything's on the up and up. You're following all the rules. You're being really, really diligent. And then, oh, well, we're going to pass an ordinance. You're all banned. You're all your investments have all gone to hell here. And, oh, well, you should have known it was coming because it's federally illegal. Because this is just terrible, the way that we're treating people in this country, that all they're trying to do is put together a reasonable business plan, help people that are trying to seek medical marijuana, create some jobs in the economy, create some tax revenue for Fort Collins, Colorado. I think they're right, though. I think the low turnout election was probably a harm to them. It'll be nice here in a presidential election where they get more turnout that things can possibly go their way. That is if the cannabis community turns out for this election. We'll see how that turns out come November. Thanks for the news, Kerry. Also, one more bit of news interest here from the state of Arizona. It's reported today from the Associated Press that Arizona's health department will begin taking applications for medical marijuana dispensaries after the attorney general's office has signed off on the program. The director, Will Humble, says up to 126 dispensary certificates should be issued by August 7th. Applications will be accepted between May 14th and May 25th. So, 11 days there to get all the applications in for 126 dispensaries. The Arizona Republic reports the certificates will allow prospective providers to begin building their dispensaries in August. A second application for an operating license will be issued after an inspector from the department determines if the dispensary is up to operating standards. The law was approved in the 2010 election. Here we are going toward the 2012 election, and they haven't even bothered to get off the first dispensary applications. I mean, it's good they're finally coming around to this, but this just shows you the stonewalling and the foot dragging that Arizona Governor Jan Brewer and Will Humble, this director here, just standing in the way of the people, the will of the people. And I know it was a close vote, you know, 50.13%, but that's still a win, and you still need to uphold the will of the people. So I'm glad they're getting this done, and kudos to the state of Arizona. We're looking forward to your dispensaries opening up sometime soon. All right, and one final note. We are closing in on the last week of our 420 campaign. We're trying to raise $4,200 by April 20th to help offset the travel costs of taking the crew to the various events that we go to. We're going to be in Denver, in Tucson, in Dallas, in San Francisco, in Los Angeles. We're going to be all over the place, and you can help us offset these costs and bring these events to you live and free right here on the Normal Network. Just go to our blog at stash.normal.org. And look for the WePay donations badge. It's over on the right side. Just donate through WePay. It can be as little as $4.20. Or if you got some tax money coming in, go ahead and donate a little more. It will all go to helping bring live events here on Normal Show Live. Help us do it.
That sound can only mean one thing.
That's right. We got to take a break here because we're celebrating Carrie's birthday, and I can only think of one way that would be proper to celebrate. So we'll be back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Hey, how's it going? My name's Will. I don't work at a used record store. I don't own an iguana, although I'm sure they make great pets. I don't have dreadlocks or play the acoustic guitar. I can remember quite well, thank you, and no, I don't constantly have the munchies. When 420 comes around, I've still got 40 minutes of work left. I've never hit a girl on a bike with my car or shot my friend with a shotgun. I've never had to apologize for letting a girl I was watching drown in a pool while I was getting high because, duh, I wouldn't be getting high if I was around children. I'm a regular guy who works regular jobs, just like the majority of all Americans who use marijuana occasionally and responsibly. My name is Will, and I'm normal.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
Oh, we're a week away from 420, and we visit with Herb Thrasher now, who's made of metal and ready for the holiday. How you doing, Herb?
Dude, I'm ready for the holiday, man. I got my gummy bears and weed ready to go.
Gummy bears are the official snack of 420, is that it?
Dude, they are for Herb Thrasher, man.
Right on, man. Hey, before we get to today's song, I saw all sorts of emails coming up, things that we need to preview, some really important stuff for Normal Rocks coming up. Tell folks about it.
Yeah, we got a killer show tonight, man. One of our good friends and bands that we've been watching all along, we feel like we've been with them from the beginning. We actually met them at Seattle Hemp Fest and Lucero. Yeah. They've been in the studio, and they're finally doing their first record album. I'm over 40, so I still say record and album. But, yeah, they're releasing it on 420. They have a big show party up there. And Sean, the lead singer, is going to come in studio tonight, and we've got the brand-new album, and we're going to play two or three songs off of it and chat with him and find out all the good stuff and talk with him about that.
So we're like the first place anyone can hear these tracks off this new Lucero album?
Pretty much. That's exactly pretty much true. There's a radio station out of Seattle, and they have the rights to one of the songs, and the rest is him and us in the studio tonight. We're going to talk about it and see what's up.
All right.
And see what they got going. And I've already heard it and previewed it, and it's definitely Lucero's music. It's got that, they call it light metal, and it's it's heavy in certain areas, and it's very radio-y in certain areas, and they put it all together to come up with a it's a great rock sound is what they got. And so we're looking forward to playing it for you guys tonight.
Right on.
And then also I went to see Sepultura and Death Angel and Havoc last night and did a couple interviews, and we'll talk about that and talk about that some more. And then 6 Feet Under, man, they got a new album coming out in May. And we've just been, you know, we totally support him, man. He's such a huge supporter of the cannabis community. And so we started a countdown to Undead. That's the new album. And it's mandatory 6 Feet Under the Dank. And we're going to freaking play some songs up until the record release. And we're talking with their camp now about trying to do some good, fun stuff. So maybe, hopefully, a lot of good things coming up in Normal Rocks here
right
soon.
On. Well, let's get to our Rockin' Friday tune here, because you know, the chat room's already talking about it. They love this band. So tell us about it.
Well, it's an old school band, man, and this is an old tune, actually. It came out in mid-2000s, and the band Diecast, now, I was researching, and it seems like there's no members left in the band, original members left in the band, and so I'm a little bit not understanding what's going on with their camp, but I still have a little paragraph to read anyways, but I'm not sure if they're a band right now or not. Anyways, this song was too good to not play and bring back, and so we're definitely bringing it back. But Diecast is a Boston-based metalcore band. They recorded their first demo in 1997 titled Perpetual War. They released their first full-length album in 98, titled Undo the Wicked. In 99, a sampler was made, and then with lineup changes coming around the 2001 area. And they enjoyed much popular success outside of Boston. In 2004, they re-released, and then in 2006, their most acclaimed album was released, Tearing Down Your Blue Skies, which garnered them opening spots on tours with bands such as Slayer. In 2006, they released their latest album, Internal Revolution, and toured for most of 2007 with Seven Dust. And that's about all I got on those guys, man. So I don't know if you guys want to know more. I did find, you know, they have a Facebook page, but Facebook, you know, I don't know. You guys who are total Facebookers, I can't even read that shit. That stuff anymore, man. They've changed it up, the page, so much. I don't even know what to look at anymore. So
Herb Thrasher votes no on the new timeline.
Dude, Twitter, man. Twitter. That's what I'm saying. I don't need to know anything. I freaking read.
There you go. All right, well, let's
you guys rock, man. Join us tonight on Normal Rock.
This is Diecast with Fade Away. Join us later tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific, for Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher.
Fade away. I can't let you.
longtime senior cultivation editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
The fact is today, people don't go to jail for possession of marijuana. I know you like to pretend it does, and there's a lot of misinformation about that, but finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn. You find one, you will make a big story because it doesn't exist. Finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn.
Narwhal Show Live, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
I'm gonna light me a pipe of inspiration. I'm gonna blow away troubles on my head. I'm gonna leave this plastic place to your plastic jubilees. And travel to a better place. And travel to a better place. And travel to a better place instead.
Hey, this is Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger Seeds, TGAGenetics.com, and you're listening to The Normal Network.
On Sunday mornings when I'm asleep in my dorm room, my parents are busy recording the Libra Lounge. But I always catch the replay here on The Normal Network, Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. following Danny Danko's Free Weed.
Bitches have something to say.
Oh, she's brilliant.
The Libra Lounge.
Since 1970, Normal has been fighting for the rights of all adults who use cannabis responsibly. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. Today, we bring that working relationship to Normal Show Live with our guest, West Coast editor Dave Bienstock, and our High Times newsstand preview.
Well, we're calling an audible, actually. We've got a different guest today, all the way from the East Coast offices. Executive editor Dan Sky is joining us. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How are you, Russ?
I'm doing fantastic. And normally we'd be previewing the next issue of High Times to come out. But of course, the big thing we got to talk about is next weekend, the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver. Give folks a little preview.
Yeah, we are going to the Mile High City for our second High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. We're having it at XDO, which is a great events, an events complex.
Yeah, I'll second
last
that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll second that. It was a very, very nice venue there. Oh. Nice and a lot of room, well designed.
Yeah, last year we just had it. It was just tremendous. We got such a great welcome from all the people in Colorado. And we're really looking forward to going back. And it's going to be, I think, you know, Colorado has surged to the top of the medical marijuana scene. I think it's, they've got somewhat of a system under control, and they seem to be moving forward. Of course, it's system that's, there's more bureaucracy than you could possibly imagine, but they seem to be negotiating it.
Yeah, and people can get more information on this by going to medcancup.com. They got the Denver badge up, and you can just click on that, and it'll get you all the information. Two-day event on 421 and 422. We'll be there with our Normal Show Live crew, bringing you as much as we can, streaming it live here at live.normal.org. But if you've never been, you've got to go. And let's get some of the requirements out of the way. You don't have to be a patient or a cardholder to go to this, do you?
No, it's absolutely open to the public. If you are a medical patient, then of course we have our medicating area, and we do require people to show that they have the proper certification in order to get into that area. But that's the place where everybody, if you are a medical patient, you can check out all the wonderful things that Colorado has to offer, from edibles to concentrates and so forth. And you know, it's a great celebration of cannabis in all of its different forms, and Colorado truly has some of the best medicine around.
So how does this work as far as people entering the cup? Who are entering this cup, and how is it judged?
Well, we allow basically marijuana, the cannabis is put through dispensaries, sponsoring dispensaries. So the dispensaries basically enter the cannabis, the top grades of cannabis, into this competition. And, you know, it can be entered by caregivers. It can be entered by individual dispensaries. And we have a very, very secret panel that goes over hybrids, sativas, indicas, edibles, concentrates. And we have a very, very complex scoring system, but it's proven to be extremely accurate. When we have these expert judges doing their job, it turns out that a lot of them agree. The scores really jive with each other. So it's really been a tremendous achievement on the part of Nico Escondido, who's come up with the scoring system.
Yes, and looking through the latest issue of High Times, I noticed you're rating the strongest strains on Earth, and so there's now we have labs that are testing them and determining how much THC potency and even CBD that is in these strains. And I found an interesting tag in that article that was saying, but these weren't the ones that necessarily won the cups. Can you explain how that's happening?
Well, because strongest strains, it depends on what you need, what strength means to you. I mean, for most people who smoke marijuana, THC content usually means that's what we're talking about when we say strongest strains. But for people who need a strong medical strain, the quotient of CBDs is what's important. So it's kind of a misnomer when you get down to it, but for the sake of High Times magazine, yes, the strongest strains were the highest THC that we could find. And that's what we're profiling in this month's issue.
All right. So as far as the Medical Cannabis Cup goes, it's a big exposition. There will be all sorts of nonprofits there, like normal, and there'll be vendors of all sorts of different gear. Every time I go to one of these, there seems to be some new innovative device that I see that is just, wow, I can't believe they thought of that. What are you seeing as far as the vendors coming in here? Anything that's caught your eye?
We have a very creative community as far as that's concerned. But I wanted to talk about the seminars of which you are part.
Oh, yes.
And I believe these are going to be somewhat, they could be somewhat contentious seminars. And we have, number one, we have four people squaring off. I hate to say that in a seminar, but it's going to be a debate. We have four different ballot initiatives that are going to be put before the Colorado voters. Only one is on the ballot thus far. And we also have a seminar called Box Canyon, basically looking at the medicalization of marijuana. And it seems to me you might be the one to talk to about that the best, because you're the one who kind of initiated this entire seminar. Tell your audience about that.
Well, yeah, it's a theory, or it's just an observation of the arc of medical marijuana politics and medical marijuana perceptions through in the public, and where I'm kind of seeing a troubling trend toward a plateauing or an even a increasing restriction on medical marijuana, which is kind of summed up in the phrase, if we keep fighting only for medical marijuana is going to be medical only. And this has led to a lot of debates among different factions, different people that believe differently on that. And, we're going to talk about it. We're going to bring this to the panel, and myself and Keith Stropp will be there kind of arguing we need to start turning the corner to legalization now. We've got the public on our side and the wind's at our back. And
I like the way you said it when you said you penned that article recently in High Times that explained the Box Canyon theory. But when you say that T-shirt that is ubiquitous throughout the movement says I'm a patient, not a criminal,
right?
And explain that the inverse of that.
When we talk about framing and neuroscience and the way people think of things, when you evoke a frame, you automatically kind of invoke implications around that frame. And so when you say something like, I'm a patient, not a criminal, well, if you're not a patient, then what are you? Well, then you're stuck being a criminal. And then that sets us up in this kind of tough, we kind of paint ourselves in a corner when we say, okay, now we want to legalize what, for those criminals? Because we've already set them up as being bad guys instead of saying, well, they're just, healthy. That's all.
Well, that's one of my favorite things to say when people ask me about medical marijuana. I say, hey, look, folks, I don't need medical marijuana. I am completely normal. There is nothing wrong with me. I just like to get high.
Yeah.
You know, is that not valid? Is that not valid?
Yeah, and I think that's something that, you know, here in the show and in other places, some of the articles I've written, I'm trying to, you know, remind everyone after 15 years of medical marijuana, it's like, hey, we're still out here, the people who just like to get high.
And that's just as important as medicine as far as, I'll tell you, we had an editor a few years back who insisted on, you know, what's stoner stupid and what's stoner smart. And he said, you know, you should only smoke it this way, you should only smoke it that way. Mm-hmm. Hey, folks, this is America, and we are free to use marijuana in any way we choose.
That's right. So we got great vendors at the Medical Cannabis Cup, great seminars that are going on. There's some grow seminars. Nico, Danny are going to be talking as well. You got the ballot, the Colorado ballot seminar is going to be very interesting. Isn't there one also on the medical marijuana industry, the trade groups?
Yeah, we're going to have a few of the trade associations are going to be along, and we have about, I believe, five of them who we're going to talk about, we're at the infancy of the cannabis industry. So they're talking about basically where we are right now and what we look for ahead. We also have a seminar on the dawn of the dab.
Oh, yes.
To dab or not to dab?
That is the question.
Yeah, you know something about that, I guess.
I've taken a little heat on that one, too. this is the Russ Belville heat interview.
You take heat on everything, Russ.
I'll take it. Somebody's got to. But
well, listen, you do a great job in your show, and we're so glad. You know, Russ has just begun contributing in a major way to High Times, and we're going to see a lot more of his writing in the future. So we're really, really pleased to have you aboard.
Thank you so much, man. And we've also got entertainment. We can't forget the entertainment that you'll have there, as far as VIP parties and bands and DJs.
See if I can remember who they are. I mean, God, these band names. I'm getting too old to remember this shit. Let me think.
Let's see, Jefferson Airplane. No, that ain't.
Yeah, Jefferson Airplane, and I believe Neil Diamond is going to be there.
Yeah, really Odd Futures, Mellow Hype, Barrington Levy, Domo Genesis, and Jasper Dolphin. Wiz Khalifa pulled up the poster for us.
I know. I have all their albums when they were on vinyl, so it's really an amazing thing for me to see all these wonderful guys.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun. And for folks that are interested in going, what do they need to do as far as ID or how much the tickets cost, where they can get them, and so on?
Well, you can go to medcancup.com. You get all the information right there, medcancup.com. You have to be over 18, and once again, you have to have medical certification of some kind in order to get into the medication area. But this is a great party, and even if you don't have your medical certification, you can still have a wonderful time, and I believe you still will be able to ingest your cannabis in some way, one way or another.
It's Denver, Colorado. I'm sure something will happen. A mile-high miracle. Also, let's just real briefly, we mentioned the latest issue of High Times. I mentioned the strongest strains. What other things should people be looking for on their newsstands?
Let's see. We got some really, really great stuff coming up here, and that issue is going to be released very, very shortly. It's basically 99. Kind of keep all these issues straight. We have so much stuff coming out of High Times. Basically, it's grow this, not that. You'll see that on the cover coming up very soon. It's basically you want to grow the very, very best plant you want, and it'll show you that right on the cover. Grow this, not that, and basically it's. We're trying to show the world how to grow every single issue, whether it's greenhouse, indoor, outdoor. Believe me, we're trying to do it, trying to get all the information. We got great grow editors, so that's what we do. And more and more, we want to show exactly what you can do in order to get things legal. Because like Jack Harris said upon his death, hey, it's up to us folks to fight for our own freedom. He can't do it for us. We got to do it. So that's our main deal, is trying to get everybody involved here. Because after the Oakster Dam raids, we have to reinvigorate our movement. We cannot get complacent. We've got to push forward at this point.
Right. I completely agree. And I think, doing that Box Canyon seminar in the context of those Oakster Dam raids is going to be very interesting. Let's see here. MedCanCup.com, everybody. If you want to get involved here and you want to head out there, we'll be out there streaming live as well. And Dan Skye from High Times Magazine, HighTimes.com. And also check out the High Times Medical Cannabis Quarterly, which is also coming out, and the new official High Times Cannabis Cookbook. I think I got all the plugs in.
I know. Well, we're asking you to buy things. You can also get the High Times newsletter. Just go to the High Times homepage and sign up, and it comes into your email box every week, and it's free. So everybody can just go to HighTimes.com homepage and sign up for the newsletter. It's real easy to do.
Fantastic. Thank you, Dan. And our chat room says that they've gotten two radio voices for the price of one today.
True. I do have a wonderful voice. It's true.
Thanks, Dan. We'll see you in Denver next weekend.
All right. Look forward to seeing you, Russ.
All right. When we come back, we'll have a little bit of time for some radical ranting. Be careful what you wish for. You just might end up getting it. Just a few random thoughts on the future of our reform movement. Be right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Have you ever wondered how to make the best tasting and most potent pot brownies possible? Do you consistently seek out recipes that will elevate your marijuana-infused cuisine to the highest levels imaginable? Then it's time to pick up a copy of the official High Times Cannabis Cookbook, published by the world's most trusted name when it comes to getting stoned. Packed tight with more than 50 recipes for irie appetizers, munchy meals, high holidays, stoner sweets, and cannabis cocktails, along with expert advice that demystifies the experience of infusing marijuana into butter, alcohol, and various oils. This book will get you cooking with grass in no time, with special treats inspired by Willie Nelson, Snoop Dogg, and Cheech and Chong, plus all the info you need to stay safe when making and consuming edibles. You will truly learn how to bake a ganja cake and eat it too. So look for the official High Times Cannabis Cookbook wherever finer books are sold.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled. You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 49 after the hour, and just a few thoughts that were running around in my head as we get here to the end of the week, and thought I'd put them together in a rant. And it begins with an article that was published on the New York Times today. It's our good friend Dominic Holden, who writes for the Seattle Stranger. Well, he got published in the New York Times today and actually got listed by The Atlantic as one of the top five articles to read over the weekend. So, you know, kudos to Dominic on that securing that position here. But I wanted to show the picture that went with this. So let me see if I can get some video here for you. This picture that goes with this this article that just kind of, for me, perfectly encapsulates the situation in Washington State with I-502. And if you can see that on the webcam, it's a snake. And the snake is made up, has pot leaf, you know, as part of the pattern of the snake. And the snake is eating its own tail. And it felt very much apropos to the article that that Dominic wrote, which is basically giving people in the New York Times and the East Coast and everything an idea of what's going on with I-502. And the article is called Smokeless in Seattle. And he talks, you know, briefly about his history going back to 1998, helping a, you know, a medical patient back then with growing marijuana. And then he describes Initiative 502 and the support from John McKay, the former federal attorney, and Rick Steves, the travel writer, and so forth. Has talked about how the polls' support has been slipping in Washington since the beginning of an escalating effort to stop the initiative. And this is Dominic Holden writing in the Times. In late February, Dr. Gil Mobley, a physician with a local clinic providing medical marijuana authorizations, began a campaign called No on I-502, a new name for a group that, before that, called itself Patients Against I-502. And the campaign claims that the per se DUID provision, then he explains that to the New York Times audience. And also about how they've been playing on civil liberties fears. Alan St. Pierre's quoted in the piece as saying the medical marijuana industry is driven by profit. It's not driven by compassion anymore. It is driven by the need to make money. And this is making its rounds now amongst the people that, you know, don't pay close attention to marijuana politics. This is now making the New York Times. And as he closes with this, he says, for their part, I-502's critics insist that they have no financial motivations and that they support legalization, just not this initiative and its DUI regulations. But it's more than a little strange to defend the status quo, in which nearly 10,000 people are arrested in Washington for possession each year on civil liberties grounds. And here's the clincher. And it's not as if voters would accept a law that didn't include restrictions on smoking and driving. And that's where I want to get around to my radical rant here on be careful what you wish for. They might get it to you. Everybody's who's up in arms about this whole per se DUID thing. Maybe we need to take a look back at ourselves and the way that we've been framing our arguments. For a long time now, we've been saying, treat it like alcohol. Tax and regulate it like alcohol. Treat it like alcohol. And it sounds as if this message is starting to sink into people, because as we look at the polls, we find that 51% of the people now think that marijuana is safer than alcohol. That has worked. However, this continued mantra of treat it like alcohol has also forced people to put marijuana in the same conceptual space as alcohol, to think that it is like alcohol in how it might cause social harms or dangers or people being out of control or becoming addicted and needing rehab. It triggers all the frames of alcohol. So don't be surprised that we're seeing a push for per se DUID limits like what we see with alcohol, where there's a 0.08 blood alcohol content. Be careful what we wish for. They're starting to give it to us. They're starting to treat it like alcohol. And we got to be very careful here to start educating the public that marijuana is not alcohol, that its effects on driving are not like the effects alcohol has on driving, that its effects on public health are not like the effects that alcohol has. So the treat it like alcohol campaign has worked to get us, you know, certain gains in public opinion, but it's also cost us a little bit in public conception of how we should treat marijuana. Now, another aspect of this has to do with the medical marijuana, and Dan Skye touched on this a little bit in our interview earlier, but this continued, you know, cannabis is medicine, medical marijuana framing, which let's be clear here, I'm not disavowing. Of course, marijuana is medicine. Of course, cannabis is medicine. But it's more than that. And by continually putting it in the medical frame, we've been winning that battle. We've been winning that public relations battle now where 70 to 80% of the people support medical marijuana. I'll come back to that in a second. But 70 to 80% of the people support medical marijuana. They believe there is a medical aspect to it. We've won that battle by and large. And now I see our opponents recognizing that they've lost that battle, even conceding points like, yes, there are constituents of the marijuana plant that can be helpful, that can be, and all we need to do is synthesize them and put them in capsules and, you know, what the pharmaceutical industry wants to do. And we've been saying it's medicine, it's medicine, it's medicine. And so now they're wanting to treat it like medicine. Earlier this week, I did the rant on Nevada County, California, and how much they want to restrict the growing of medical marijuana and the use of medical marijuana. But the restrictions are not unlike the restrictions we would see on a factory or any sort of a pharmaceutical company that wanted to produce a Schedule 2 or Schedule 3 substance. We've been saying, treat it like medicine, treat it like medicine. Okay. Well, the medicine has to go through FDA approval. It has to be regulated in consistent doses. It has to be of guaranteed standards and purity. It has to have certain security requirements and quotas that have to be met and regulations that have to be followed. If we keep fighting only for medical marijuana, we're going to get marijuana that is medical only. And that's coming to fruition. We already have the FDA engaging in clinical trials of Sativex, the whole plant extract that's the spray, the sublingual spray. We have the federal government buying up the patent in 2003 for the cannabidiol as a neuroprotectant. We have the first granting of licenses to the first few pharmaceutical companies to start researching the use of that patent, the use of those CBDs. By the time the 2016 election comes around, the next major presidential election, I believe we'll be at a point where we might see the beginning of introduction of cannabinoid pharmaceuticals onto the market. And these East Coast medical marijuana states that have no home grow provisions that require all their patients to sign up at one specific dispensary may one day find that their bag of buds has now become a spray or a tincture or an inhaler that they have to use instead of the natural plant cannabis. So be careful what you wish for. You might just end up getting it. And one final thing I wanted to go over, we talked about medicine, we've talked about alcohol, let's talk about tobacco and cigarettes, because I was out at the Willamette University yesterday to watch Kevin Booth, and he was doing his lecture and demonstration of some of his uncut footage from American Drug War II. Very compelling footage, especially the part where he's hiring private security and there's this young Latina who worked private security and talking about how she wanted to work in the police, but she just knows the police are corrupt and her work would do no good there. Anyway, while I was there, one of the young college students in the audience asked Kevin Booth about the perceptions of legalization and how the corporate world might take advantage of that. And he issued the time-honored and thoroughly debunked maxim that, hey, I heard that Philip Morris has bought up a whole bunch of land in Humboldt County because they're just ready for legalization, and Philip Morris is going to take it all over. And this is something that I've debunked many times. First of all, Philip Morris is an international company, and they're not going to touch cannabis so long as it's a federally controlled Schedule I substance, because the government would haul them into court and take all their assets. It's not like the government and big tobacco get along in courts as it is. And furthermore, every search I've ever had anyone do in Humboldt, Trinity, or Mendocino County, looking for the public records of large grants of land, you can look up who's bought what, nothing close to Philip Morris. We've run it by the executives and the people at Philip Morris who've told us time and again, this is an urban legend and we've never done it. But it does bring me around to thinking about cigarettes and thinking about how we as cannabis smokers maybe have been a little lax on defending the rights of cigarette smokers. Because should we get cannabis legal like we expect it to be, will we end up subject to the same sort of restrictions that tobacco smokers are subject to? As far as whether it's harmful when we're smoking in front of our kids or whether our secondhand smoke is harmful or... Well, I'll tell you what, as long as we get the little break shelter and we can take 15 minutes off at work like a tobacco smoker, I think I could put up with some compromise. Hey, thanks for joining us here for Normal Show Live, Hour 1. We're going to go into Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, where I'm going to take a look at a website, empoweredparent.com, chock full of reefer madness that's just begging to be debunked. And I thought of something last night about signature gathering on initiatives in the Citizens United world. Me and Kaliko will talk a little bit about that. And take your calls at 971-533-7111. So for Wiz Kaliko and Brian the Red and the birthday girl, Cannabis Carrie, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next week, take care of each other, tokers.
We love it.
We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it, you